November 20th. We begin, as usual, in the Old Testament. And our reading today will come from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40, verse 28. We'll go through chapter 41, verse 26. We'll see that the city of Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed, and the land had been taken over by the Babylonians, and the people had been scattered or exiled. It was not a time of good news, but Ezekiel did what God's people always must do in times of trial. He looked ahead to the glorious future God had planned. One day the scattered people would be regathered, and the defiled people cleansed. The land would be restored to beauty and fruitfulness, and there would be a new city, a new temple, and a new priesthood serving the Lord in holiness. This vision of a glorious land and temple was to be declared to the people so that they would repent of their sins. We today do not understand the significance of all these details. However, Israel will understand them in that day, and their understanding will bring about a change in their lives. The assurance of a glorious future helps to sustain God's people during the trials of life. It should also be a stimulus to holy living. The word holy, by the way, is used 35 times in chapters 41 through 48. Now, for Christians, heaven is not simply a destination. It is a motivation. It should make a difference in your life today because you know you're going to heaven. So my question is, does it make a difference in your life today? And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. November 20th, Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 28, through chapter 41, verse 26. Then the man took me, Ezekiel, to the south gateway, leading into the inner courtyard. He measured it and found that it had the same measurements as the other gateways. Its guard alcoves, dividing walls, and foyer were the same size as those in the others. It also had windows along its walls and in the foyer structure. And like the others, the gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. The foyers of the gateways leading into the inner courtyard were 8.75 feet deep and 43.75 feet wide. The foyer of the south gateway faced into the outer courtyard. It had palm tree decorations on its columns, and there were 8 steps leading to its entrance. Then he took me to the east gateway, leading to the inner courtyard. He measured it and found that it had the same measurements as the other gateways. Its guard alcoves, dividing walls, and foyer were the same size as those of the others. And there were windows along the walls and in the foyer structure. The gateway passage measured 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its foyer faced into the outer courtyard. It had palm tree decorations on its columns, and there were 8 steps leading to its entrance. Then he took me around to the north gateway leading to the inner courtyard. He measured it and found that it had the same measurements as the other gateways. The guard alcoves, dividing walls, and foyer of this gateway had the same measurements as in the others and the same window arrangements. The gateway passage measured 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its foyer faced into the outer courtyard, and it had palm tree decorations on the columns. There were 8 steps leading to its entrance. A door led from the foyer of the inner gateway on the north side into a side room where the meat for sacrifices was washed before being taken to the altar. On each side of this foyer were 2 tables where the sacrificial animals were slaughtered for the burnt offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. Outside the foyer, on each side of the stairs going up to the north entrance, there were 2 more tables. So there were 8 tables in all, 4 inside and 4 outside, where the sacrifices were cut up and prepared. There were also 4 tables of hewn stone for preparation of the burnt offerings, each 31.5 inches square and 21 inches high. On these tables were placed the butchering knives and other implements and the sacrificial animals. There were hooks, each 3 inches long, fastened to the foyer walls and set on the tables where the sacrificial meat was to be laid. Inside the inner courtyard, there were 2 one-room buildings for the singers, one beside the north gateway facing south, and the other beside the south gateway facing north. And the man said to me, "The building beside the north inner gate is for the priests who supervise the temple maintenance. The building beside the south inner gate is for the priests in charge of the altar, the descendants of Zadok, for they alone of all the Levites may approach the Lord to minister to him." Then the man measured the inner courtyard and found it to be 175 feet square. The altar stood there in the courtyard in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the foyer of the temple. He measured its supporting columns and found them to be 8 3/4 feet square. The entrance was 24.5 feet wide, with walls 5 1/4 feet thick. The depth of the foyer was 35 feet, and the width was 19 1/4 feet. There were 10 steps leading up to it, with a column on each side. After that, the man brought me into the holy place, the large main room of the temple. And he measured the columns that framed its doorway. They were 10.5 feet square. The entrance was 17.5 feet wide, and the walls on each side were 8 1/4 feet wide. The holy place itself was 70 feet long and 35 feet wide. Then he went into the inner room at the end of the holy place. He measured the columns at the entrance and found them to be 3.5 feet thick. The entrance was 10.5 feet wide, and the walls on each side of the entrance extended 12 1/4 feet to the corners of the inner room. The inner room was 35 feet square. This, he told me, is the most holy place. Then he measured the wall of the temple and found that it was 10.5 feet thick. There was a row of rooms along the outside wall. Each room was 7 feet wide. These rooms were built in 3 levels, one above the other, with 30 rooms on each level. The supports for these rooms rested on ledges in the temple wall, but the supports did not extend into the wall. Each level was wider than the one below it, corresponding to the narrowing of the temple wall as it rose higher. A stairway led up from the bottom level through the middle level to the top level. I noticed that the temple was built on a terrace, which provided a foundation for the side rooms. This terrace was 10.5 feet high. The outer wall of the temple's side rooms was 8 3/4 feet thick. This left an open area between these side rooms and the row of rooms along the outer wall of the inner courtyard. This open area measured 35 feet in its width, and it went all the way around the temple. 2 doors opened from the side rooms into the terrace yard, which was 8 3/4 feet wide. 1 door faced north and the other south. A large building stood on the west, facing the temple courtyard. It was 122.5 feet wide and 157.5 feet long, and its walls were 8 3/4 feet thick. Then the man measured the temple, and he found it to be 175 feet long. The courtyard around the building, including its walls, was an additional 175 feet in length. The inner courtyard to the east of the temple was also 175 feet wide. The building to the west, including its 2 walls, was also 175 feet wide. The holy place, the most holy place, and the foyer of the temple were all paneled with wood, as were the frames of the recessed windows. The inner walls of the temple were paneled with wood above and below the windows. The space above the door leading into the most holy place was also paneled. All the walls were decorated with carvings of cherubim, each with two faces, and there was a palm tree carving between each of the cherubim. One face, that of a man, looked toward the palm tree on one side. The other face, that of a young lion, looked toward the palm tree on the other side. The figures were carved all along the inside of the temple, from the floor to the top of the walls, including the outer wall of the holy place. These were square columns at the entrance to the holy place, and the ones at the entrance of the most holy place were similar. There was an altar made of wood, 3.5 feet square and 5.25 feet high. Its corners, base, and sides were all made of wood. "This," the man told me, "is the table that stands in the Lord's presence." Both the holy place and the most holy place had double doorways, each with two swinging doors. The doors leading into the holy place were decorated with carved cherubim and palm trees, just as on the walls. And there was a wooden canopy over the front of the temple's foyer. On both sides of the foyer, there were recessed windows decorated with carved palm trees. November 20th. Our reading today in the New Testament will be from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. Of the early church, it was said, "Behold how they love one another." Today, people might say, "Behold how they compete with one another." Why is it sometimes so difficult for God's people to get along? Well, one thing is selfishness. The wars among us are caused by the wars within us. We want to please ourselves, even if it hurts somebody else. If we're not careful, even our prayers can become selfish. And then there's the problem of worldliness. Because Abraham was separated from sin, he was the friend of God, but Lot was the friend of the world. And then, of course, there's pride. Satan knows how to use pride to defeat you, as he defeated Eve. Are you laughing when you should be weeping over your sins? Are you resisting the devil or resisting the Lord? Then there's criticism. One of the easiest ways to hide our sins is to expose the sins of others. Gossip and slander grieve the spirit and divide the family. God called us to be witnesses, not judges. And there's boasting. Life is short and the future unknown. So do the will of God today. When you make plans, always say, "If the Lord wills." And now let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. November 20th, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it. So you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole motive is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, He will lift you up and give you honor. Don't speak evil against each other, my dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize each other and condemn each other, then you are criticizing and condemning God's law. But you are not a judge who can decide whether the law is right or wrong. Your job is to obey it. God alone, who made the law, can rightly judge among us. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So, what right do you have to condemn your neighbor? Look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year, we will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you'll be boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. Those gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and saving me. The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, shining upon us. Bring forward the sacrifice and put it on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Proverbs 28, verses 3 through 5. A poor person who oppresses the poor is like a pounding rain that destroys the crops. To reject the law is to praise the wicked. To obey the law is to fight them. Evil people don't understand justice, but those who follow the Lord understand completely.